And now you can roll your own. Jeppesen Approach, that is. This AvWeb Audio special from NBAA in Atlanta is brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. The advent of WASP GPS means that virtually any airport on the planet, at least in the U.S., can have an instrument approach. But the FAA can't even begin to keep up with demand, so it's about to approve Jeppesen's request to develop so-called public RNP approaches on a contract basis. Jeppesen's Andy McDowell explains how it will work.
Andy, we want to talk about the RNP program that Jeppesen is undertaking for developing approaches for private use airports that are basically outside the FAA development of these procedures. If you begin by explaining how RNP works, what it means, and so forth, and then we can talk about how the outside development works.
RNP stands for Required Navigational Performance, and the basic idea behind RNP is that the performance of the aircraft from a navigational standpoint is dependent upon the systems in the aircraft, as opposed to in conventional procedures, is based on the performance of ground-based navigational aids, whether they be NDBs, VORs, or ILS-type systems. And the notion behind RNP is that it's a linear path flown waypoint to waypoint based on an RNAV concept in which the aircraft is certified to be able to fly down to a certain level of navigational performance, and that performance is measured in nautical miles.
So it could be RNP1 or RNP...
RNP4, RNP1 up in the in-route areas. When you get down into the terminal area and approaches and departures, it'll be under 1, usually in the 0.3 to 0.1 arena in terms of containment.
And if I recall correctly, this is three-dimensional performance, is it not?
This measurement is in the lateral aspect of containment. In RNP, the vertical aspect is generated from a barometric VNAV capability.
Okay.
In the aircraft.
So typically, for the RNP type approaches that you'll develop, what kind of equipment are we talking about to fly these?
Right now, the criteria out by the FAA is for what's called RNP SAR procedures. So that's special aircraft and air crew authorization required, and it's for RNP levels below 0.3. In that environment, you're typically required to have a dual FMS or FMC capability in the aircraft working with an autopilot system to be able to get down to those levels.
Okay. And what kind of minimums are we typically talking about on these types of approaches, at the very best?
Yeah, down at the current criteria, it's down to a 250-foot hat,
okay,
which is height above threshold elevation, is the lowest that it could possibly go.
Very close to a Cat 1 ILS.
Very, very close to a Cat 1 ILS. There's hopes to get it down to an ILS 1 someday. There's also looking at what's called GLS, which will be a GPS-based ILS lookalike down to ILS minimum someday.
And if you were at an airport contemplating 250 and a half or 250 and a mile, that would probably require credit from lights, from approach lights?
Yes.
Just like an ILS does.
Just like an ILS.
Precision.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to establish that technical background. How does the Jeppesen program work as far as developing these approaches privately?
Well, if you're talking about private procedures that are specials, we currently have the capability to do that work and have done that work in the past. The recent program the FAA has started is for a qualification process to be able to build public procedures that would allow anybody who qualifies under the AC-90-101 application process could fly a public RNP procedure at any airport that has one. It's the first time the FAA's ever forayed into this arena to allow a third-party company or entity to go in and build procedures on a public basis.
Back with more from Jeppesen's Andy McDowell in just a moment. Today's special coverage from NBAA in Atlanta is brought to you by Bose Aviation Headset 10, voted number one for the sixth consecutive year in Professional Pilots 2006 Headset Preference Survey. Enjoy full spectrum noise reduction, clearer audio, and comfortable around-the-ear fit. Learn more at Bose.com/headset.
Let's say that I'm a public use airport somewhere, mm-hmm. And I want to develop an RMP approach for my airport. I approach the FAA. The FAA can't get to it, so I have the option. How does that work with Jeppesen?
Once we get qualified under the process, the airport could then take their own money and approach a third party like Jeppesen to have us build the RMP procedures into their airport, and we would work with the FAA to get it through their quality control process and through all the coordination internal to the FAA to get it placed for use within the NAS of the United States.
So that airport would approach Jeppesen directly with the FAA's knowledge?
Exactly.
I see. And how would that process work? How long would it take? What would it cost?
Once we get qualified?
Yes.
Depending on the quality of the data that's available to us from the FAA for the airport, probably would take anywhere from 3 to 6 months. To fully develop the procedure, get it tested, quality assured, and put through the FAA process to then be at a point available for people to use.
And I assume that once Jeppesen develops the procedure, it's flight tested by the FAA?
Well, the qualification is going to allow us to do the actual flight testing.
I see.
Or a partner of ours, depending on how we decide to do it business-wise. That will be part of the qualification process. We will also be required to maintain the procedure if you have changes in terrain, changes in obstacles, changes in criteria of the procedure. We would be required to provide the maintenance on the procedure until such time the FAA decides to take ownership of the procedure and do it themselves. But there's no guarantee that they would do that.
So does that imply then that the airport that contracts for one of these public use RMPs would have an ongoing cost related to maintenance?
Would have an ongoing cost until such time that the FAA decides to take over the procedure from us.
Any idea what it would cost an airport that approaches you to have this done?
We don't have that developed yet.
Okay. By the sounds of it, once this gets off the ground, and when do you expect to be approved?
We're going to start conversations with the FAA next month in October to start the process, and we're hoping within 3 to 6 months to have our qualification.
So it could be that there's quite a market out there for this, and this could open up a lot of airports that now don't have any kind of precision approaches whatsoever.
Absolutely. That's one of the benefits that RMP will bring, because you're not dependent upon having to install certain pieces of equipment at the airport to bring the capability. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the benefits that RMP brings to the airport. So those mid-sized to small-sized airports that don't have any IFR capability, with a small amount of investment in the building and the procedures, can all of a sudden have an IFR capability.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Andy. Sounds like a terrific program, and we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay.
Jeppesen's Andy McDowell. You've been listening to one of several extra audio features we're releasing this week from NBAA in Atlanta, and as always, watch avweb.com for the latest print and video coverage. Comments on this audio cast welcome at audionews@avweb.com. Today's report was brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10. Check it out at bose.com/headset. I'm Mike Blakeney for Avweb Audio. Thanks for listening.